From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
To get right down to it. So who knows? But the point is, it has made a huge difference in the world, and everybody's taking note. This guy has been quite ill for quite some time, so I'm assuming that the son that's going to take over The son that's going to take over has... at this point, been running the country for quite some time. So maybe things are not going to change a whole lot, but then you never know with a young son what's going to happen. Daddy may have been controlling things very carefully and not doing so well at the moment. So who knows what's going to happen? And when you're talking about a whole country, from what I understand, even China is a little concerned about what's happening and what's taking place. They don't know for sure. And so it's hard to say. But anyway, the fact that he's not doing it, it's a little scary because they've got these missiles and they can fire off these missiles, but to this point, they haven't really adjusted to if they can run the missiles or not, I guess, is what I'm saying. I don't know. Can you hear me at this point or not? Are you here? It goes away. But I keep getting a call, and I assume it's Robin on the phone, but she doesn't come in. And why I'm not getting her, let's see if I can put her in the conference or not. Or if she's there or not. I'll try that and see what happens. I'm not real good at this controlling things, and I've been doing that lately in the last a little bit and still working hard at it. So as I stumble my way through, you'll forgive me, I hope. Whatever I'm doing, it hasn't worked. So it's all failed. Story of my life, call failed. But anyway, talking about Korea and the fact that they've got these missiles and they seem to have a little problem controlling them entirely. They sort of fire them off and they tell us they're doing great things, but it doesn't seem to be too indicative of what's actually happening. So it's hard to tell what's going on. And everybody's a little worried about it. This is the problem. And, of course, it's too soon to tell what's happening. And, you know, one day after the man passed away, I'm sure they're going to be concerned with what they're doing locally and internally with the funeral arrangements and things like that. And we're probably not going to hear a whole lot about what has happened when you get right down to it for some time till they can get their internal things straightened out and understand what's going on. So we'll have to sit back and watch and see what's going to take place. I assume it's going to be a month or so before anything takes place. But then you just don't know where they're going to go. China's worried about it. Russia's worried about it. We're worried about it. A little worried, I guess you could say. Not horribly worried, but we are worried a little and don't know what's going to take place. So who knows? And we're going to have to sit back and decide what's going to take place before we worry too much about it, because you can't sit back and worry too much. I mean, regardless of what goes on, it's still, how do I say this without sounding really absurd? It's still Korea, North Korea, to say the least. And probably they're going to have to work out something with South Korea, because North Korea and South Korea, as I understand, are absolutely at odds about almost everything. And so that could be one of the problems that they have to work out first. But then they can worry about what the rest of the world is going to do. It's going to probably take a long time to get things going up. Meanwhile, of course, the Koreans, South Koreans, are out there wandering in the streets and pouring into the streets and making, well, they're mourning, I guess is the word it would be. They're dressed in black and things like that, and they're mourning their leader. He's actually done, I don't know how I want to call it, a good job, a bad job, an indifferent job, whatever he's done. It's hard to tell, and who knows. But anyway, it's hard to consider what's going on. So we got to sit back and look and see what's going to take place and see how long it's going to take place before the sun. And I know all I have all these names written down. I don't know that I can pronounce them. That's why I haven't even tried. Kim Jong-il is the one who just passed away. And what is his son's name? I was looking here to see if I can see where his son's name is, but it doesn't seem to be telling me anywhere what it is. But he's the youngest son, as I understand. I don't know. There are a couple of sons, I guess, and as to which one, there may even be some sort of a power struggle to see who gets to take over and run the country and or not. But the father, the person who passed away just now, picked one person, and I understand that not everybody agrees with that. So who knows what's going on in this particular case? It's hard to say. So basically, we've got to sit back and watch and see what's going to take place. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to take before anything happens or anything takes place. It's hard to tell that, too. So this is interesting. I don't know what happened to Robin. I think she's tried to call in a couple of times, and I've tried to allow her to talk to us, and it didn't work for whatever reason. Something's going on. If you haven't tried, or if you've tried to call in, try again. Again, the telephone number is 646-721-9887. If you can hear me, and if I'm actually on there, call and tell me, will you? Because I don't even know what's going on. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. 646-721-9887 is the phone number. It's hard to tell and see what's going to happen and what's going to take place here. So in the world of I guess that's politics. Is it politics when someone? Of course it is, but it's kind of sad at the same time, even though I don't think we as a country were real fond of this president. But on the same token, and he wasn't very fond of us, but it's hard. It's bad to see somebody pass away, no matter what happens, or no matter what took place. So it's hard to do that. It's sad any way you look at it. Okay, she's offline. Okay. There's that. Yeah. That's one of the things. So basically, going on, lots of things to talk about, lots of things to look at, and lots of things taking place in the world. I guess I'm going to stick with the world and the world look of things. And one of the problems with the world look of things, of course, is Greece. Greece is still having major problems. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, has pushed and stepped up this week, and they're yelling and screaming and hollering because Greece has had several loans, and they're not doing anything about it. Their budget deficits even worse than ever in November, and the construction business kept shrinking, and when your construction business shrinks, basically everything shrinks. Everything is slowing down in Greece, and everything is getting harder in Greece, which means that everything has to even get harder in Greece, because if you don't have the money coming in, you don't have the money, it's a problem. And the finance minister of Greece has talked to private creditors and about the massive debt that he's got, and it's about $130 billion right now that they're into. And got to understand, that doesn't sound like much to us. Well, that sounds like a lot to me, but it doesn't sound like much to the United States. But $130 billion, Greece is a little tiny country. It's a little tiny country. And $130 billion is going to be hard on them. So they've, you know, they're having a terrible time trying to back out, trying to pay it off and clean up the problem. In fact, they're asking for even more money right now. And the people that have the more money are hesitating to give it because they haven't done anything about the first amount of money that they had. So it's all a big problem. And their finances are getting worse. And one other thing today, you know, you think about, okay, you say, okay, it's bad and everything is bad, but what's bad? Well, there's just one of the things, for example, in Greece that I saw that was kind of sad. You know, you're talking about Greece and a small country, but, for example, for several years now, a program that provided deaf people with interpreters was sponsored by the government in Greece. And now that they've had this big cuts and things, that whole program is gone. They've got about 15,000 deaf people around Greece, and they're left without any help. I mean, it's not like every person had an interpreter, but basically there were a few, I think there were 60 of them, and basically what they did is if you're deaf and something happened, a crime or something, and you had to go to police and report a crime, or you wanted to rent a house or go to a job interview, not everybody speaks sign language. Maybe you do, but not everybody else does. If you want to go to a job interview or something like that, or rent a house or go to the police, they may not have somebody there. So the Greece government had a group of people that helped out, a program that helped out, and went to those places and helped them explain what they wanted. So, but unfortunately now with Bellis, those 60 folks are now out of business and out of a job. And so who knows how long before they'll get back into, well, I think it's going to be a long time before they actually get back to the point of being able to do something like that. But that's the kind of thing that gets cut when you're starting to cut everything. You know, it hits a lot of places, and it's sad, but it's just something that has to happen, I guess, a lot of times. So who knows?
I think I'm here.
Oh, gosh, I clicked on you and you're there, huh? You're back. So
I called in on the caller line.
You what?
I called in on the caller line, and right now I'm going to do my best acting that you've ever seen, because if you could see my face right now and have listened to the last 5 minutes, let's put it this way. I could very easily paint my room for as much as words I've been saying.
I see. Well, did you buy any chance to look and or listen and see if we're actually on the air?
We are on the air. We are broadcasting.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I haven't been sitting here chattering on for nothing then. So now this is interesting because you're on the telephone, but I also clicked on the Skype thing, and I thought you came up on there, but maybe you're not. I guess you're not. No, I didn't. You're not. But that shows you online as well. So who knows what's going on.
You can go ahead and try it again. Maybe it will get better quality. Go ahead and try it again.
Okay, I clicked you, and you should be there. Are you good? Are you here?
Okay.
I'm back. Hello? Yeah. There you are.
There I am. Go ahead and disconnect that line right there. And hopefully everything's going to work out just fine. Don't you just love technology, folks?
Well, it's kind of interesting. And, this is the second week that we had these kind of problems. And who knows what it is, but basically, one of the things that I get real upset with is, well, never mind, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say it now that I started it, but I shouldn't have started it. And that's the fact that Blog Talk Radio won't let us on more than 15 minutes before the actual program. And sometimes it takes longer than that to get us to set up and go. So you can't start until then, and that's tough luck.
Blog Talk Radio has been having lots of issues lately. And I hope they're listening, because I'm going to say this. We, like last week, for example, we had a guest on the program, Lynn Sloan from the producer, one of the producers from KGO 810 in San Francisco. And she was very kind, because last week at this time, we had really bad technical problems, mostly in Blog Talks. And she was very kind to come back on because we rescheduled a special program again for the next day, and things seemed to go right. However, is that it stagnates us from scheduling other guests, like including the possibility of getting some of the former hosts from KGO on this program, when we don't, when we can't rely 100% on Blog Talk Radio's end to perform.
Really?
Especially when you're trying to...
Sad, but that's what we've got to live with at the moment. We're working on it, folks, trying to come up with different ideas and different solutions, and we'll get there someday. Just who knows when. That's mm-hmm. But as I was talking about North Korea and the things that are going on, and then we moved over to Greece, because the fact that Greece is still way behind in paying off the things that they've got going at the moment, and so, and they still need much, much more money. So we're still a little worried about what's going to happen in Europe and how long the euro is going to last. And I've kept seeing different stories and hearing different stories about what happens if the euro collapses, or if what happens, let's say, just Greece decides to step out of the euro, because what they can do is they can stop using the euro, and then they can just not pay off that debt. Of course, when you start doing that, it's hard to conceive of the fact that we're not talking about the United States or someone else. We're talking about the entire world now and what's going on in the entire world. And now we find out that even the economy in China is not what we thought it was before, that it's kind of slowing down as well. And construction industry, building houses, the housing industry, is slowing way down, and as it's done everywhere in the world. So, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I keep looking at this and saying, well, you know, the simple fact is we're just going to have to learn how to live with it, and I don't think it's going to be something that we can repair very soon. It's going to be a long time before we get to fix that and take care of it, because there's just so many things that are going on. It's hard to replace things and repair. And all the different banks. I've got a couple of other things that I need to talk about too, because I've heard some stuff and learned some stuff.
Before you get too much into it, we got some business we need to take care of.
Oh, okay.
And I know that once your motor gets going, you like to go high speed.
Oh, let me tell you, there's so many things have happened in this last week that it's just unbelievable.
Well, first thing I'd like to do, speaking as you're talking about monetary, I'd like to talk a little bit about monetary, which kind of gives us a little bit of pittance, at least on this program. Although if you would like to give us more pittance, we like our pittance. and I'm sorry, this week I don't have any samples for you to gnaw on.
Darn. Oh, well, I'll live.
And I'm talking about Dancing Dog Cookies. They are our sponsor for today's program, and they are homemade, and they are made in special shapes and different flavors and are really good for your dog, and they're all natural and everything. And
good
check
dog,
them out.
Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him, because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And Cliff loves them too, because he ate all the samples, and I do have a couple more samples.
Really? It's kind of a neat idea.
What the?
I'm sorry.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, as we're kind of playing catch up here. Cliff, I got a couple things that going on, and was listening on the talk shows recently. I heard about kids being kicked out of school for some of the most dumbest reasons.
Oh yeah, really?
And also some of the, there's a new trend going in. I'll get to the trend in just a moment, but and of course the kid got kicked out of school for the trend too. But First of all, I want to start off with, when you were growing up, you ever get into a little fight, as you know, like in first, second grade or whatever, you know, you had the bully like to jump and pretend you beating the heck out of you?
Actually, just interestingly enough, I'm big, and I've always been big all my life, and I never got into fights or anything like that because nobody wanted to try me.
Well, anyways, unfortunately, first grader Mark Curran wasn't so lucky, as he got kicked out of school for that dang trend. Trend Micro likes to come up right in the middle of everything at the wrong moment. Anyways, he got kicked out of school for kicking the bully in the testicles.
Oh. Well, hey, I am a firm believer of whatever it takes to win.
Well, yeah, he was defending himself, and apparently the people in the principal didn't like how he defended himself, so
I hate to say this, but to me, there are no rules in war. And when somebody's beating you up, that's war.
Exactly. Another one. This is this is a North Carolina boy. They don't mention his name, unfortunately. He's 9 years old. He got kicked out for sexual harassment after calling a teacher cute.
You've got to be kidding. He's nine?
9 years old, and all he was doing is he just mentioned to a friend of his that, teacher's kind of cute. He wasn't doing anything sexual or anything like that, but, of course, you know, they took it as such, you know.
Yeah, you know, we've got a major problem in our schools, and that's you know, in the part of the administration and the teachers and such, they have no tolerance. They have no idea of what's right and wrong. I mean, they're trying to teach a kid what's right and wrong, and they don't even know.
Yeah. He got a 2-day suspension, and basically they said the boy was suspended for inappropriate behavior after making inappropriate statements.
So you can't call the teacher cute.
No.
But I wonder if he got kicked out if he called her an ugly old bat.
I was thinking of it. You just said it.
I think that would be interesting to find out, you know, because they're so accustomed to being called nasty names, they might have just been totally differently, accepted differently, but they don't know what to think of it when somebody calls them cute.
And finally, what I got, and I know you got one too, have you ever heard of the term T-bowing?
I've heard of that. I don't know what it is.
Okay, basically what it is that you drop down onto one knee, bow your head, and kind of like, it's like a tribute, per se. It's called T-bowing.
That's a sports figure, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, two students at Long Island's Riverhead High School served 1-day suspension last night for engaging in an act of T-bowing in the school's hallways.
Wonder who they were saying thanks to or whatever. Just the whole idea.
Well, they were bowing. According to the article, they were suspended for dipping to one knee and bowing their head in a tribute to Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow.
Well, you know, we're getting I can't think of the word. Nothing is good enough. Nothing is right. I mean, we catch such stupid little things, and we let a lot of the major problems go, and we're just getting really carried away. I mean, this politically correct thing has got to come to an end somewhere.
Well, yeah, but this is just some of the examples where things are just going a little bit too far. And speaking of going too far, Cliff, I believe you have something on your docket for the
Well,
weapon.
I was a little upset when I saw this. This, to me, is just out of reach because the federal government has a fund. Now, this is the federal government has a monetary fund to take care of the senators' hair care for senators. And for the fiscal year 2010, it was $33,387 that they spent. Now, there's 100 senators, two for each state. That means that each senator got $33.87 in taxpayer money to just make them look sharp for the cameras, keep their hair combed, and if you have a hairpiece, have a hairpiece. But it's a revolving fund, and here's the thing. they don't use it every year. Not everybody uses it all. And they've got $261,117.19 in that fund.
For
hair care. So they can do a lot of things. But that, you know, you say, okay, well, that's just absolutely stupid. That's just, in the first place, it shouldn't add up. If they don't use it, it should go back into the general fund. But it doesn't, of course. But they just real quick here, to give you an idea of where we squander our money, there is a Senate Restaurant Fund. Now, this is just the Senate, mind you, not the House, just the Senate. There is a Senate Restaurant Fund that has $72,370 in it. There's a Senate Health and Fitness Facility Fund that has $123,856 in it.
Is that per senator or...
That's not per senator. That's the amount of money balance that's left in the fund at this particular moment. Mail costs. The federal government appropriated $300,000 for mail costs, adding to the existing balance already. So they have $345,430 in that mail fund. That's, you know, we're talking a lot of money you can send out for mail, and we shouldn't even be using mail. We should be using email and doing things that are less expensive. But
you know, we really should have, you know, representatives that are fit with good-looking hair and more efficient communications.
Well, my point is, listen to this. It's even more absurd than that. We're paying our senators $179,000 a year starting wage. Why can't they buy their own damn hair and have their own fund for, or buy their own? Well, here's one. Why can't they buy their? Well, no, I'm not going to use that one, because most places do supply paper, not to the expense that the federal government is. That fund has $1,078,465 in it. That's $298,988 per senator to buy stationery. That's a little out of the way. But I think that at $179,000 a year, they should be able to pay for their own hair. They should be able to pay for their own food at the restaurant, not have a big, huge fund of $50,000 for that. They should be able to take care of their own health and fitness, not having us pay for that. Now, maybe mail costs, that's one thing, but I don't think we should be spending anywhere near that much money. But it's just out of control. Now, remember, I said $179,000 a year, that's starting wage. For a senator, starting wage. They can be making a lot more than that. And we wouldn't get into how much money they get when they retire and the funds are for that. That's just getting ridiculous. And you're still always looking for a raise. So that's
why, well, if you throw it into the fact that as soon as you get into upper level government, which is we've been pushing for the 28th Amendment, you can do all the insider trading you want to and become millionaires, which I believe most of them have been, if I'm not mistaken. But what an opportunity, you know, convince the public to elect you for whatever reason you can con your way into it. And it's a free-for-all.
Certainly finding out why people are running for office. My God, you can it's just amazing what you can do. I had no idea that if I became a senator that none of the rules and regulations applied to me. I can do whatever I want to then. I didn't realize that. Maybe I should have gone out and run for office long ago. I'm just real upset about the whole thing. It's absurd, and we've got to do something about it. And again, I'll get back to my preaching. I preach this over and over again. We start with campaign finance reform. The simple fact is you have to be a millionaire to run for office to get into any of those offices. We've got to change that so that you don't have to be a millionaire to start out with. And then we've got to change there'll be other things that you change in a specific order in order to change this whole thing. And that's what we're going to have to do, because this business of stepping into an office to get rich is exactly what's happening, and it's got to stop.
Well, and also, have you noticed that ever since Herman Cain dropped out, have you noticed that there hasn't been any more women stepping forward?
Why would we know?
Well, because it would probably make the news, I would assume.
Well, I don't think they were there in the first place, but that's another story. I'm not going to speculate on that because we have no way of knowing. And all I can know is what he said. And I have a tendency, because I've heard interviews of other people who know him and who have talked to him and worked with him, and they agree. So that basically the only thing we can know is what he's told us at this point.
Exactly. And how that's relevant is that, because one of the things that Herman Cain wanted to do is that he wanted to put a stop to a lot of this stuff that's going on, this free-for-all. You know, bring our government employees back down to an employee level instead of being the royalty.
Well, if we want to hire someone that's going to actually do something about what's happening in Washington, D.C., that's literally going to do something about Washington, D.C., we've got to hire Ron Paul. Simple as that. Because his whole goal in life is to eliminate most of those positions and most of those regulatory organizations and things like that. His whole idea is to eliminate them. Now, sometimes a while ago, he used to say, we've got to do it immediately. But at least he's calmed down to the point now that he'll take it over time. And he's mentioned now, we're talking about 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the road before we get everything done. But we've got to get rid of what's going on in Washington, D.C., because it's just out of control and has been getting more and more out of control as the years go by. And then if you look in the last 3 years, I don't remember exactly what the figure is, but supposedly our national debt has increased four times what it was, four times more than the entire history of our country before that.
But let me ask you this. Do you really think that, there has been presidents that are candidates that have been elected that have gone in there with really good intentions. And, you know, it's almost like that, you know, a few days after the inauguration, they get pulled into the back room and told how it really is. Do you really think that with all the money and power at stake for the president going in there to want to write things that they're actually going to let him do it?
Oh, yeah. See, that's, first of all, that's why I'm a big advocate of putting Newt Gingrich in there. Everybody else can tell you what they think they want to do. They can tell you what they really want to do. They can tell you all kinds of ideas that they have. Newt Gingrich is the only one who has done it. He has been there, done that, knows how, knows where the bodies are buried, knows who the bodies are, and can do something about it. Now, he is not quite as radical as Ron Paul. He's not going to clear things out as much as Ron Paul. But I do believe that he has more of a chance of actually accomplishing something than any of the other candidates. To be honest with you, as we go along in this thing, I am more and more impressed with Rick Perry and actually with Bachman, Michelle Bachman.
Well, I'm starting to get more impressed with Bachman, but Glenn Beck had Newt Gingrich on his program earlier this week, and he was playing some previous audio clips. Now, Newt has been, according to the audio clips from Newt, that he's really in favor in the Obamacare type of scenario, when requiring, you know, everybody to have insurance and the mandated minimum or otherwise pay a fine.
Oh, I don't know how you got that.
That's one nice thing about audio clips. You know, it's not some reporter's interpretation. It's actually coming out of his mouth.
Well, I've watched an awful lot of Newt Gingrich and never heard that kind of a thing come out of his mouth. I watched the last debate. I was, by the way, very impressed with the last debate. You know, of all the people who do these televised debates, I think so far that Fox Television has done the very best of all of them, and this last one was a Fox Television debate. But the thing I liked about it was they talked about other things. I saw some interviews before the debate, and they were talking to the people who were going to do the debate and saying, well, what on earth are you going to do? They've said it all. They've talked about it all. You've asked all the questions. There's nothing left. Well, I guarantee you there was 2 hours worth of something left, And we did learn a lot more than we had knew before. But and I was very impressed with that debate. But that surprises me that you came across with that about Newt Gingrich, because that's not the idea that I've heard him give before. He's not one of the ones. One of the things Michelle Bachmann and several of the other people have said that right off up front, the first thing they would do is eliminate the Obamacare. He never said, I don't think, that he would eliminate it. I think he sort of indicated that he would. But I don't know that I can't positively remember if he actually said he would eliminate it. But everybody else would, just about.
Oh, yeah, we need to. By the way, did you get out the numbers yet?
646-721-9887. Yes, I did. I was begging people to call me and tell me if they were hearing me or so. But, it is still important. 646, I always go for the 721 first. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. Call us and let us know what's going on. Let us know how we're doing. Or if you have something you disagree with what we're saying, although we're being pretty innocuous this morning and not saying anything of importance, but let us know. 646-721-9887. And what else have we got? We got all kinds of ways of contacting us.
That's right. We have some people that have been in and out of the chat room today. Welcome. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio, if you're logged in as a guest, does not allow you to participate in the chat room, which I say to every program. We've been encouraging Blog Talk to change that because they are, for numerous reasons, and the biggest one is the lack of participation. But if you are a guest in our chat room right now, again, welcome.
But you might mention that if you are a guest, and if you do really want to talk to us, and we'd love to hear from you in the Blog Talk chat room, it doesn't cost anything to sign in. You can without cost, and you can become a member and then be able to talk to us. So it doesn't cost you anything except a few minutes.
That's right. Otherwise, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887. And if you're listening to the program from one of the archives, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Are making comments on the in the comments area or on our Facebook page. So we're all over the place, and we're trying our best. So but best thing is give us a call, 646-721-9887. And I guess, Cliff, the other thing I kind of want to touch on a little bit today was, once again, I mean, it's kind of getting old hat, but once again, you know, the government is going, well, we'll go ahead and we'll fund it for another two more months.
Except they didn't. They passed it on Sunday, or they passed it on the weekend and then reneged on Sunday. So we haven't got anything.
Okay, I didn't hear that part.
I heard that this morning, that the whole thing is moot because the Republicans looked at it and decided they didn't like the deal, and so they've recommended that it not go through. So we're back to square one again. I don't know in the last 5 hours what's happened. That was at 6 o'clock that I was listening when I woke up this morning. But it's all going to be a real disaster, because what it is they keep crying wolf, and people are ignoring it. People don't care anymore because they know good and well it doesn't mean anything. It's all going to go away. They're going to find a way to take care of it. And someday they're going to find out that they can't take care of it, and they're actually going to shut everything down. And then we're all going to be really upset. And so this business of sitting on our dead butt and doing nothing has got to end. We've got to get in there and scream and holler and yell and tell everybody what's going on and insist. Well, of course, the next year, that's going to be when we insist, when we change all of the senators and change all of the representatives and change the president. That's how we're going to show that we're mad. We're mad as hell, and we're going to do something about it. Isn't that the movie?
Yeah, but we have to follow through, too. It's like in the November election last year, to even quote Lars Larson when he had a senator on the program, he asked him, Senator, aren't you... didn't you get the message that the people sent this last November? And he goes, what message is that, Lars? They're not listening. All they care about is just getting their little butts back in the office. And once there, we don't matter.
Oh, I understand that. There is a difference, though. Was this senator one of the new ones that we put in, or was it one of the other ones that were just reelected? Because that would make a difference. Some of these new people that went in there this last year are really making a difference.
Yeah, but like I said, then once they're in, because what they call it, freshmen or whatever, because once they're in, then, of course, they'll get indoctrinated, unless, of course, they can stick to their guns and go in there for the whole reason why they were elected in the first place. And also to kind of realize that, you know, with the Occupy movements, you know, granted it's kind of, I won't get into too, where the Occupy is going right now, but people are starting to come together because, you know, we're unemployed, we're underemployed, and it's affecting us personally, and that's when people get involved. Because otherwise, you know, like Cliff said earlier, is like the government shutdown, it's like, you know, it doesn't appear to affect me directly, and it's become a joke. Why should I waste any brain cells on it?
That's right. I mean, there was a time when we got all upset and worried about it, and they've just done it too many times now. It's every 3 months at this point, and they can't get past that three-month thing, which is absolutely absurd and stupid because that's what's destroying our economy at this particular point. Nobody is aware of what's going to happen 6 months down the road, a year down the road. You don't have any idea when you can't even pass a budget. I mean, they have not passed a budget in this entire administration, and that's got to be a problem. And because of the fact that it's a radical position to be in, we don't know what we've gotten and how long we're going to have it. We don't know where we're going to stand. All we know is that we're going to just go ahead and every 3 months fix it for another 3 months and continue on. And then maybe if Obama is removed from office, it's going to drop it in somebody else's lap, and we're not going to have to worry about it. But it's going to have to be thought about and thought out sooner or later.
Well, and I don't think it's just Obama. I just think it's the whole group, the whole mentality up there.
Well,
and that's one thing that's got to change. I mean, we didn't elect these people to, you know, we elect them for a reason, to be a representative. But it appears that, you know, just like a board of directors in a business, you know, if the board of directors can't do their job, well, we need to get their board of directors, or the company goes under.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. We're going under.
And it's just going to get worse. And but the thing is what do you do? I mean, there's already news about internment camps for to house U.S. citizens, because I think the government is a little bit scared of the fact that the people are starting to get together. And they don't. The thing is they've got the power. They got their little thing going on. They don't want to be messed with. You know, if they could totally get rid of elections, they would, because it's just an annoyance to them.
Who are we talking about as they now?
In general, the government.
Oh.
The people in power.
Well, see, that's the thing we do have going for us. And that's, again, I say over and over again, that's the only way we can actually make a big difference, or any difference, that matter, in what's happening in our lives. We have got to change our public employees, or our public servants, and they are indeed servants and employees, and we've got to change them. And then we've got to do something about this business that once they get there, they're better than us, because that can't continue on. That's what's getting us into positions that are in big trouble. I mean, you get in there as a senator, there's so many ways to do this. But as a senator, you can be there forever if you can just figure out how to get reelected and reelected. And you get reelected by taking the money from one person and giving it to somebody who's going to vote for you. That's what they're doing in there. That's what these senators are doing when they're, you know, well, okay, I got to do this, and this fits right in here with what's going on. I have a real problem. This is right clear right here at home. This isn't Peter DeFazio is a senator, representative, whatever, but he actually went in, and we've got a problem with the post offices, and the post offices are shutting down post offices all over the country, right? We all know about that, but Mr. DeFazio at this particular point saw that the Agnes post office was going to be closed down. He obviously got a letter from someone in the city of Agnes, or the town of Agnes, or whatever you want to call it, who asked him not to close that post office, and he actually went to the Senate, or wherever he went, and pushed through a bill to save the Agnes post office. Now, here's my concern. Agnes. What is Agnes? Agnes is a town in Oregon, over on the coast, that has 112 residents. That's right, 112 residents. But that's all of the residents. Men, children, boys and girls, dogs, cats. There are 55 houses in Agnes. That's all. Just 55 houses. So 55 households, 55 people who might be going out and collecting mail. Now, granted, it's 35 miles each way to go get their mail. But we're saving a post office. We're paying a staff of people to run a post office for 55 people. Now, even if you've only got a staff of one, the post office pays very well. So we're talking about $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 to pay to run a post office. That's just for a salary. It's not efficient.
And including the back support to it, the trucks that deliver the bulk mail to and from, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, that was just salary. We're talking about $100,000 to pay for a post office that could just as easily be closed. And I'm sure, I'm very upset that DeFazio, I thought DeFazio had more sense than that, but he did this. He did this. It's already passed. And so I fired him off an email to tell him I was very upset about what's going on. But if you multiply that by how many people are in the Senate and how many people are in the House that are all doing little favors like that for people, and they started adding up to big money. And that's where our money is going. We've got to have people who can think. We've got to have people with common sense. And I thought Mr. DeFazio was one of those, and I'm obviously wrong.
Well, just like, I forget what the name of the bridge is in Portland that the federal government gave a grant for, but the people on both sides of the river, Oregon and Washington, don't want it, but they're going to go ahead and do it anyways because the money's available.
Well, that's the other thing that happens a lot. You're given the money, or the money is there, and you got to spend it, or it just goes back to the general public, general fund, and somebody else is going to get it. So you got to spend it, and then, of course, they put little things on there that says it has to be spent for this and it has to be spent for that. This whole business of sending our money all one place and then trying to beg for it back again is what's got to end, and that's what Ron Paul and a couple of the others that are running for president right now would be totally about changing, because that's where we're getting lost. We're spending money first to send it to Washington, D.C., and then we're spending money as people to go and beg to get it back again, and it's just a big circle that doesn't need to be there.
Here's one thing that just really gets me angry is that we're constantly hearing on the news about how bad, how poor the government is, and we don't have the money. We got to raise our taxes, or we're gonna cut Social Security, we're gonna cut Medicare, we're gonna cut, and yet then we hear even on the same news broadcast the federal government's given a grant for so many millions of dollars, like say for the EMX bus project in Eugene, for this bridge in Portland, giving money away overseas, giving money away. But if you and I ran that same type of finances for our home, we'd lose our house.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. We keep talking about how there isn't any money. We're going to have to do what Greece did. We're going to have to do what Greece has been forced to do, by the way, and it's going to be us who is forced to do it too. But it's going to happen. It's going to be maybe a little later than Greece, but the simple fact of the matter is they're going to have to start cutting a little of everything. And that's what happens. My point when I told the story about the deaf people, they made a swooping cut. They didn't just say, oh, we'll cut this and this and this. They just said, okay, we're going to cut 10% of everything. And these are the people that get hurt. In this particular case, they cut the entire program because it was small. But that's going to be the kind of things, and we're going to hurt a lot of people here, but we're going to have to get back and set back and let it happen, because there's no way around this. We've got to stop the spending. We've got to cut the spending. You can't tax your way out of it. This whole business of taxing the rich, that's not going to get you anywhere near enough money to do absolutely anything to speak of. And basically what it's going to do, they talk about, taxing the rich, and they're not going to then hire people to do things. That's a bunch of bull crap. They're going to hire people when they need the people. But the simple fact is they're not going to spend their money where they don't have to if you start sticking huge taxes on them. That's not the answer. They pay... If we could just, again, get them to pay what they're supposed to pay. Right now, they have all these loopholes in the tax laws. They can get around everything. We've got to change that. That's what we've got to change, is the tax laws, so that there are no loopholes, or at least hardly any loopholes. And that's where your friend Herman Cain, I think if he could have actually done what he said he was going to do, that would have been absolutely spectacular. 999, that's 27%. That's still almost as much as we're supposed to be paying now. And in some cases of people who are making millions of dollars, a whole lot more than they are paying, and some of us who are not paying at all. That's the other thing. We've got that's one of the things that happened in Greece, is there was 40 or 50% of the people in Greece just didn't bother to pay their taxes. Well, you've got to pay the taxes. You simply have to pay the taxes. You know, if everybody pays the taxes, then everybody's going to pay less, but you can't get away just not paying them. You've got to do something. So,
well, for that 999 plan, too, I pay almost 30% out of my wages for taxes.
That's what you call 27%, almost 30.
Exactly. And, of course, that varies depending on the amount of the taxes you have. But also, to kind of go along with what you're saying, is that this is a Bloomberg article on December 14th. There, you know, again, you and I, when we're poor, we'd love to help our neighbors if we could.
You know,
be very generous. But we're not in a situation to do that, and, you know, unless we're strong at home, we can't help anybody else. But they're talking, or they were thinking about, I think they closed the door on them for doing it, about bailing out Europe, the European banks.
Well, okay.
We bail ourselves out. How can we bail out another country?
Yeah. That's the problem. Europe can't do it either. And the simple fact of the matter is that's what we're talking about with the collapse of the euro and the collapse of Europe. And all it's going to do is if we try to send money over there, and which we are, by the way, we've loaned those banks huge amounts of money, and it's just going to hasten our collapse as well. It's what it's going to do.
Oh, I know my blood pressure is going to get up today.
Well, the other thing is we're talking about this, the employees, the public employees, this retirement system, this PERS, retirement system right here in Oregon. I thought we had that worked out. I thought that was changed, and I thought that the people who are retiring, they're going to have to start taking less. I mean, we're going to have to start reneging on some of this. Listen to this. Jack Maddox, who is a University of Oregon history professor, he retired this summer. And now he's received his first pension check. Maddox, and he's 70 years old, granted he's getting along there, he's going to receive more than $189,000 a year in benefits. $189,000 a year, that's in retirement benefits. Now, see, there's no possible way that anybody needs to receive that kind of money, and I thought we had that all taken care of, but obviously we don't.
And what was his role again?
He was a professor at the University of Oregon, history.
I went to the U of O for a whole whopping one term, so that makes me an expert. And the professors I've met, $50,000 tops is what I would pay them. $50,000 tops. One guy wouldn't even take a bath, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I'll go along. You know,
let me throw in a really quick story on this one. Really quick story. This guy here, he was a Marxist, and he's a proud Marxist. In fact, he said that the other teachers, you know, didn't want to play his reindeer games. Anyway, no, but they kept moving him around his office, and they finally moved his office in the back room. And he's saying, well, that's because of my Marxist belief. No, it's because the guy literally never took a bath.
Well, you know, Karl Marx took baths.
Maybe I should have pointed that out to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying good money to go to these colleges, and this is what you get?
Yeah. Well, I agree, and I don't know. I would probably go for more than $50,000 a year. I wouldn't mind even 70 or 75, but $189,000 is quite a bit to pay a person even while they're working, but to pay them that much money to retire on for the rest of their life is just absolutely absurd, and we've got to do something about that. And it's going to have to be, I understand that they were promised this, they were told that they were going to get this, but you can't promise something you can't deliver on. You can't promise something that isn't there, and it's not there. It's just simply not there.
Well, and also, you know, back to the biggest figures, like, say, aid to other governments, like for $1.3 billion in security assistance to Cairo, $250 million in economic assistance to Egypt, $700 million for Pakistan. I mean, we're supposed to be broke. We're not supposed to have any money. We're constantly hearing that we're that the old people, people that need our assistance, we don't have the money for. We're, you know, like reneging on Social Security. They're talking about cutting back payments on that. And we just we don't have the money for our own infrastructure, but yet we're giving away billions of dollars overseas. It's like, how about stopping that drain, for example? I mean, yeah, in comparison to trillions of dollars, it's a small amount, but, you know, it's a start.
Well, it's not actually a small amount, because when you get down and sit down and figure out how much money we're giving to all of these different countries, it's over $1 trillion, 1.2 or something like that. And so, yes, it is a lot of money, and there is that and the defense budget, that needs to be cut. There are places that this budget can be cut and that can solve our problems, that not immediately, but over a period of time. It's taken us a long time to get to this, but actually it hasn't. I was going to say it's taken us a long time to get to this position, but if we balance the budget during the Clinton era, which supposedly we did, then it's only been since then that we've put all this huge, huge debt together. And, of course, you know, two-thirds of that debt is the Obama administration, whether it's just to Obama or not, it's the Obama administration. And that's why we've got to, again, I'm going to go again, and here we are at the top of the hour, we're going to say again, we've got to pay attention and vote. We've got to get out there this next election and change the people that are in office, because the people in office are killing us, literally. They are killing us. They're breaking us. They're doing all sorts of things, and even the least of which, not the least of which, is lining their own pockets.
Well, I want to comment on that real quick here, but like I say, we're at the top of the hour. Again, I'd like to invite people to give us a call on this or any other topic they would like to contribute to, 646-721-9887. Call us to be part of the conversation. If you have never called the talk show before, this is actually the best form to do it. All you have to do is just dial 646-721-9887. You can also listen to the program by calling that number. And when you decide that you would like to participate, just press 1 on your touchpad, and it'll come up on my board, and I'll say, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so. It's really easy to do. It's habit-forming. Once you've done it a couple times, you just can't wait to dial in and go ahead and just let us know what you think.
Well, there's a lot of things to think about. I'll tell you that right now.
The one thing I wanted to throw out there, you know, we're talking about the balanced budget. You know, you're right. We actually had a balanced budget in Clinton days. In fact, here's an interesting fact, according to CBS News. As we all know, our vacationing president is going off to Hawaii again, of course, in separate jet. And CBS has compiled a small list of how many days different presidents have taken. George Bush so far has George W. Bush so far has been is holding the record at 180 days at his ranch, but at least he took his staff with him, supposedly.
Well, yeah, he worked at his ranch.
Oh. Ronald Reagan, 112 days vacation at his ranch. President Clinton only took 28 days off.
He didn't have a ranch.
He didn't have a ranch. Yeah, he was ranchless. But he also got the budget balanced.
See, Clinton was a little different. Clinton liked to talk to people and liked to work with people, and so he did stay there at work. And I'll give him credit for that. I wasn't necessarily enthralled with everything he did because... Well, I won't say because there's so many things, but overall, he got things done. And I do have to know that one of the things that I heard Newt Gingrich mention was the fact that when he got these different programs passed for the budget and such things while he was in office, he had to send it to Bill Clinton three times before Clinton finally did sign it. So it's not something that just was cut and dry even then. You know, we're talking about Newt Gingrich actually coming up with these bills and these these programs and such things, and he had to work at it. He had to work hard at it. That's why I really feel that he still knows where the bodies are buried and what things are going on, and that's who we need in there right now is somebody. You know, we've got a rookie in there that doesn't know what's going on. He had not only no experience in politics, no experience in government, no experience in anything when we elected him. Why, you know, I sit back and, again, I have to scold myself or whatever you want to, maybe even worse. The simple fact I sat back there, and I'm going to be boiled in oil for this, because basically how I thought about it is we've never had a black president. This is a chance to show everybody that we can have a black president, that we're not so thoroughly ingrained that it's impossible to do. But because, you know, as I said before, it's only 4 years. What can he do that's so bad in that 4 years? Well, now I know, and I will never think that way again, believe me.
And I think, we keep hearing the race card and everything. I think as a society, and I could be totally wrong on this, but I think as a society, we got to the point that we're kind of a little bit beyond color and stuff.
Well, I was hoping that if he got in there, this would signal the end of the race card, would signal the end of the color problems. But it's not. It's actually going to make him worse because he's such a horrible, horrible president.
Well, I think that's one thing that Cain threatened is that you couldn't pull the race card on him. Howard Cain being the same color.
Well, that's partly, I think, why we would have never gotten Cain in there. Because right now, the race card has been pulled. The race card has been shown, and Obama did it. It wasn't somebody else. He's the one who's destroyed that. He's set, I think, the black race back by hundreds of years.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm really upset about the Obama administration. I mean, he, like a used car salesman, he made a good sell, which is why he got elected. But just like with what's going on in the debates and everything, I'm tired of the blame game. You know, they're pointing out Obama did this, Obama did that. Great. We all know that. We know what Obama is. We know what he's doing. We know what he's done. What are you going to do as a candidate if you get elected? That's what I want to hear more than just pointing the finger at Ralph Tantov and his thing so in the ground, or this candidate here did that. I don't care. What are you going to do?
Well, you haven't been listening to the debates like I have, and it's kind of sad because I know it's not your fault. You haven't got the ability. You have to work.
I work 14 hours a day, too.
There is this life you have to consider. But I don't. I don't have a life. So I sit and I go to these debates and watch these debates and see what's going on. And almost all of these questions that you've asked are being answered over and over again by the candidates. And as I hear certain candidates mention that any one of the people up on the stage that are on those debates could do a better job than what's being done right now. And that I agree with, because as I have watched these debates, I've been more and more impressed with how these candidates think and the fact that they do think. There's no possible way they can come prepared with all the answers for these debates, because these people that have been doing the debates, doing the questioning, first of all, they come up with different questions. I mean, totally different questions. This last debate was amazingly good for that. Plus the fact they've been taking now Fox and CNN did a better job than the regular networks, of course, but they take questions from the public by Twitter, by Facebook, by whatever. There's no possible way that the candidates can prepare for those. They don't know what they're going to be. And so I've been really, 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 really impressed with how these candidates are prepared and have the answers. And so I'm just going to say that's good. And let it go at that, but they are working on it, and they do have answers. So it's very, very rewarding to think that they do think.
Well, and also what I want to throw out there as well is that we spent how many years over the birth certificate question?
I didn't spend any
years. And, you know, some are satisfied, some are not. Why isn't there an outcry to require the candidates to prove that they have the right to work in the United States?
Because I don't really think that's a concern. I mean, first of all, I'm not sure that he doesn't. I'm not sure. But the simple fact is I don't think very many people are ever going to try to play that game. I mean, I just, if it ever happens again, I think we should, first of all, just kick the guy out of there, which we should be doing now. But I don't think we need to vet those people with that kind of information. In the first place, it's not been a law to this. I mean, it's a law, but it's not been something anybody has ever, has this ever happened before?
We don't know. I know that there's I'm looking it up now. I know that there, last year, there was an ambassador, this is overseas, that was an illegal alien, and he wasn't even, he couldn't even legally be an ambassador, but he was. Then, of course, once they found out about his, the fact that he was an illegal immigrant, of course, you know, that raised all types of turmoil.
Well, I suppose if we want to attach that same regulation to all government positions, then that's something. But do all government positions require you to be a citizen? You don't have to be a citizen to go in the Army.
No. No, but you have to be a citizen to be a U.S. president. I don't know if you have to be a citizen to be a congressman or not. But you would think that because you have to be a citizen, or at least have the legal right to work in the United States, that you would have to, the same requirements would apply to our leaders. Oh, but then again, I forgot, the rules don't apply to our leaders.
Yeah, that's, again, 28th Amendment. We've got to get back to the 28th Amendment, and I hope that people, do I have the 28th Amendment on the website? I don't know if I do or not. I'm going to put it on there right away and make sure you can see what it is. It's not an amendment yet. It's just an idea, and I think it's a great idea that we need to push and push and push and try to get something done with it. Because, you know, we get this hierarchy of people, this God group sitting up there on Washington, D.C., and we've got to do something about that.
Well, speaking of it, as I was just thinking, is that, okay, the insider trading issue, which just came out, you know, the same thing that put Martha Stewart in jail, they're doing very freely up there on Capitol Hill. What other stuff are they doing that is illegal for the rest of us that they are doing?
Well, a lot of things, I'm sure, and my position is we don't want to spend time figuring it out. We want to pass a regulation like the 28th Amendment and then just stop it in its tracks. And then it would... See, if we find out what it is now, there's nothing we can do about it. We just know about it. We need to put some sort of a law in there so that when we do find out, if we're going to spend enough time and money and effort to find out, that we can stop it. And they're not doing that at the moment.
Well, and there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to. And, of course, my favorite one, which I don't have the audio, but I don't really need it, is when we put people into office, you know, you're there to do a job. I don't want to hear... Why read the bill? It takes 2 days and two lawyers to read the bill. And then Nancy Pelosi, well, you got to pass the bill to know what's in it.
You keep bringing this up. I don't understand. What.
The point is that, you know, we put them there. Like I say, they are our representatives. They're there to do a job. And they're saying, like the health care bill, they never read it. They passed it. With the attitude that we need to pass it to know what's in it. No, are you going to go buy a house with that type of mentality?
Yes, we are buying it with that kind of mentality. That's why they're taking it away from us.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, my point is, let's not dwell on that. Let's dwell on the fact that we've got to vote. We've got to do something about it. We've got to listen to these debates. We've got to make our mind up, and we've got to decide who is the best one. And then we've got to get out there this election time and take care of it. We've got to.
My dwelling on it is because we need to take names. Because when the elections comes up, which is the only time that we can really get these guys out of there, we need to take names of who the people are that are not doing their job and be sure to remind people not to put them back into their vacation home known as Washington, D.C.
You know anybody in there except the last few that have been elected who are doing their job? We just need to clean house. Period. I sat back. I unvoted for a couple of people last election. I voted for some people saying, you know, I know these people personally. I've met them personally. I know they're nice guys. But Now I find out they're making stupid decisions. I mean, saving a post office for 100 or for 55 people is a stupid decision. I don't care who does it. You know, you've got to be at least aware enough of what economics is that you don't spend something you don't have. You don't throw that kind of money away. You're borrowing Peter to pay Paul, and you're killing everybody. So we've got to have people with some at least common sense. And so that's why we need to talk about the people who are running, listen to the people who are running, and find out what's going on. And that's our responsibility. We've got to get off of our dead butts and get out there and listen, whether it's on television or where it is. And we've got to do some sort of a thing to make it so that people can present their positions and present their ideas to the public for less money. It's costing way too much money to get into any kind of an office right now, and that's why. But the offices are worth it. They're paying big, and that's what we're paying.
We need to set them up there with the message that we're looking over your shoulders. But again, they don't care, because again, unfortunately, with our system is that once you're elected, unless it's some type of sexual behavior, you're in there for as long as you want to be in there.
Sexual behavior. We didn't kick Clinton out.
No. But then again, if you remember that the public wasn't really interested in what was going on. We were more interested in what was kind of going on the sidelines.
That's my point right now. We've interested.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the public was interested in what was going on the sidelines. They weren't interested in Clinton's relationship. That was between him and Nancy. Mrs. Clinton, but...
Hillary.
Hillary, yeah, whatever. I think that one's her, sorry. And that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, 13 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887, still time to give us a call.
I want to change the subject just a little bit, because I want to talk about the fact that I found out something Candy brought to my attention. I have made some disparaging remarks somewhat about the Occupy Wall Street movement and that group. And I'm finding out that they actually, some of them in some places, do have ideas and do have some plans and are not totally stupid. The Occupy San Francisco movement in this particular case has a plan aimed at banks. Our big problem right now is we have gargantuan banks, huge banks that are out of control and don't know what's going on. Their idea is that the banks could be, I don't want to say broken up, but let's say distributed more financially prudently, let's put it. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but whatever. The point is, let's not have all of this money in like one, two, or three banks or five banks or whatever it is. Let's put it into the credit unions and the smaller banks around the country, and that would accomplish having your money spread out. It'll accomplish, if a bank were to fail, it'd be a smaller bank. It's not huge amounts of money. I mean, look at how much money we're talking about, whatever happened to this last guy that lost a trillion dollars or more. I mean, he doesn't even know where it is and know how. But if we spread this money out to hundreds and hundreds of banks around the country, it could be just as logical. It could be used better, and we wouldn't have nearly the problems, I don't think. Maybe we'd have a little more problems as far as running the banks is concerned, but it would put a lot of people to work. It's just, I get really panicky. We're getting back into this huge corporation mentality. We went many years ago, we had a time when we broke up all of the big conglomerates, but now our government is in a position of making them back again, putting them back again. Different conglomerates, yes, but in broadcasting, for example, we've told them they can do what they want to. We've only got like, what is it, seven major broadcasters now in the entire United States, and they're broadcasting with thousands and thousands of radio stations. Some of them have 5, 6, 7, 10 stations in one market, and they're locking that.
KGO because of that.
What?
And look what happened to KGO because of that.
Well, yeah, that's my point. The point is happening everywhere, not just at KGO. And the fact is, we've put thousands and thousands of people out of work by doing that had jobs before and could be having jobs again and making 10 people rich. And we've got to stop doing that. Our government has got to stop making people rich. We've got to spread it out. And that's not the only place. We've got other different companies that are doing the same thing. I mean, if you don't think that Home Depot isn't a conglomerate, then you've got to know there's something wrong. So we've got to make something to spread this out. We got the idea at one point a few years ago, and then we just dropped the ball and let it go back again. We've got to get back there. But the idea of spreading this money out among many, 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 many smaller banks, it just makes sense to me to do it, because we've got, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Union Bank. We've got big, big, huge banks like that are doing everything, and they're everywhere. So we don't need that. We don't need these big conglomerates anymore. They've got to spread it out. But that's a long time down the road, and they've got an idea to how to do it. And so I have to say, sort of an apology to the Occupy Wall Street people. But I still maintain, I've been to many, many, many websites and many different advertising places and news places, and most of what you hear coming out of the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street people are they want a handout. And that I don't think is what we should do. If they were out there occupying an area and doing something for it. In other words, if they were out there cleaning up or after themselves, or if they're out there doing something to maintain they have a right to do this, that would be okay. But just to say now they're talking about occupying empty houses, houses that have been foreclosed on. Well, there's nobody in that house, so it's mine. Well, that isn't the way it works, folks. That just isn't our way of business. But that's what they want, and that's not what I would go with. But if they can come up with a group of people that have ideas and can actually do something with them, that's another story. So I guess I'll say I have an open mind at this point about the Occupy Wall Street people.
And let me touch also, because whether you like it or not, you know, when a large group of people nationwide get together, even if they don't have a unified message, it gets noticed. And in fact, when the Occupy movement nationwide did start, I kind of smiled a little bit, because it's like, yes, people are getting fed up, they're starting to stand up. However, as there's, and I don't have it in front of me, and I apologize, but there is some stuff going on in the background with the federal government that is anticipating, based on examples from other countries, when people get together like this. Right now it's kind of disorganized and semi-peaceful, but there will be a point that they'll start turning their attentions to higher grounds like Washington, D.C., and it isn't within our Constitution to change our government. And the FEMA is already setting up to have and construct internment camps to house United States citizens, just in case that it does go to that point.
Well, I haven't heard about that, but the simple fact is that this is becoming a homeless issue more than it's becoming anything else, and that's something that's you can't do that. And when you start, I understand the Occupy Wall Street idea and the fact that big money is running the world, and we know that big money is running the world. That's been happening for a long time, and there are ways you can politically get around that, and that's what I've been trying to push. But going out and disturbing and disrupting business and disturbing and disrupting commerce and cutting, you know, you're cutting your own throat when you do that. When you start going down to the ports and start blocking the ports and not allowing things in or out of the ports, you're destroying the commerce for the entire country. And when you do that, then there's no money coming in. And when there's no money coming in, you're cutting your own throat, my friends. So that's going to be a major problem there. And that's what's happening. So we've got to stop doing that. We've got to find ways of making noise that works on our government, yes. But maybe we should all go to Washington, D.C. and all camp out on the White House yard, the lawns. That's what I think we should do. We did that once with a Million Man March. Well, let's do it with a Million Man March again, but this time let's have them taking tents and things and striking it up on the White House lawn or on all those. There's a lot of area there. They could put a lot of tents there.
Well, they could, but the problem is you're not going to go on the White House lawn.
Yes, you can. I mean, they're talking about doing, you know, we're long past passive aggression here. We're long past doing this peaceably. People are getting killed. And so we've lost.
The White House has these nice little gentlemen up on the roof of the White House that may think otherwise.
I guarantee you, if you have 50,000 people go marching onto the White House lawn, they're not going to start shooting them down. They're not going to do that.
Okay. You're going to make me recall history here.
No, this is not history. This is today. And we're not going to do today what we may have done in the past. That's a wholly different thing. I don't believe they're going to do that.
You really think the government is just going to stand by and let the people come in and overrun the White House?
I don't think they're going to stand by and let them do it. But I think if you have 50,000 of them or 100,000 of them or a million of them, that there's not much they can do. But I don't believe that they're going to just stand there shooting them down. That's what we get upset for in other countries, and that's what we go into other countries and try to stop. So if we start doing that right here in our own country, then there's going to be a whole hell of a big uprising around the world about that, and then we've lost the battle right there. So I just don't believe we can allow that to happen.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but you remember, I think it was in China, when that one guy stood up against...
This is not China.
I know this is not China, but the army refused to fire on its own citizens. That same question was asked to U.S. servicemen, and the answer was, yes, if I was ordered to do it, I would fire on our own people. Even if it's an illegal order, they would have to follow through, and they can complain later. In fact, from what I understand, is that if you're in the service and you refuse an order from your commander, that commander can turn and shoot you.
Oh, I understand all that. I understand all that, but I don't think they'll get that order.
I hope you're right.
I really do.
I really hope you're right because, like I say, I don't know. I just hope you're right.
I mean, if you got that order from someone in whatever office, you can be pretty well guaranteed when by the time they shot 50 people, you've got whole hordes of political people who are now out of a job because the American public is just not going to stand for that. There's some things that can't happen in our country. And if the Occupy movement, this is a little different point from, this is not people coming from other countries and doing this. It's our own citizens that are upset that are doing this. And I don't think that we're going to do things quite the same way in this country as they do in Iran or Egypt or Libya or wherever. We can't do that way. And I don't believe for a minute that these Occupy people are going to do what I'm talking about. But I just, you know, I have to believe that our government employees are not that stupid.
Well, I don't know, but like I say, if you have a large number of people going onto the White House lawn, first of all, you are going to have the military out there standing guard, and all it takes is one person to get out of the line or even set off a firecracker, and there's going to be bullets flying. You can guarantee that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. But that's kind of a thing that I don't know that we should even be talking about them on yet, but what we are, and that's a kind of problem. But anyway, I wanted to just say I'm going to leave with an open mind about the Occupy movement at this particular point in time, and we can get back to that next time. And there are several things that are going on that we haven't talked about, and we're already out of time. So, well, we get going on something. We can get back to it.
That's right, but... Yeah, time does fly even more, even faster when you have technical issues. But anyways, again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the guests that stuck with us. And again, if you'd like to comment in the chat room, you know, the account is free. Feel free to sign up and join us. And of course, we always encourage people to call 646-721-9887. We'll be back again on next Monday, which will be the day after Christmas. Or something
like that. After Christmas, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Day after Christmas. So we'll be back in next Monday. If there's anything in the news that you see that you'd like to talk about or argue over, send us an email, talk to drbnradio.com.
check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.